The sixth trumpet's ominous blast shattered the silence, its echoes reverberating through the air. As the sound faded, a voice emanated from the four horns of the golden altar before God. It commanded the sixth angel to unleash the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates. In that moment, a surge of power rippled through the heavens as the four angels, kept in readiness for this precise hour, were set free to wreak havoc upon humanity. A chilling realization gripped me as I understood the magnitude of their impending actions, ordained to bring about the deaths of a third of mankind. The scene unfolded before me like a surreal nightmare. An army of mounted troops, numbering beyond comprehension, galloped forth with an unstoppable force. Their breastplates gleamed in fiery red, dark blue, and yellow hues of sulfur, a menacing sight to behold. The horses they rode bore heads resembling lions, and from their mouths spewed forth fire, smoke, and sulfur, a deadly trifecta of destruction. A third of humanity fell victim to these relentless plagues, succumbing to the unforgiving wrath unleashed upon them. As I observed this catastrophic vision, a profound sense of despair washed over me. The power of these infernal horses lay not only in their mouths, but also in their tails, each ending in serpentine heads that inflicted further agony upon those they struck. The unfolding chaos painted a grim picture of humanity's plight. Despite the devastation wrought upon them, many refused to repent of their sins. They persisted in worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, and stone, blinded by their own vices and unwilling to seek redemption. The reasons behind this apocalyptic exodus and the actions of these people remained shrouded in mystery. As my logical mind grappled with the unfolding events, a sense of urgency gnawed at me. The time for reckoning had arrived, and the consequences of mankind's choices were being laid bare in the most harrowing manner imaginable. An army of locusts. 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, to a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Rend your heart. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests, who minister before the Lord, weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Joel speaks to me. God is using war to bring people out of slavery. God is great. Who can endure the day of the Lord? My logic fails me. I fall before the Lord weeping for such pain. In that moment of reckoning, a profound realization washed over me. The day of the Lord had arrived, and none could stand against his wrath. In my despair, I felt a stirring within my soul, a call to return to him with all my heart, to seek forgiveness and redemption in the face of such overwhelming calamity. Tears streamed down my face as I embraced the truth revealed in Joel's words. In this tumultuous sea of war and destruction, God's mercy shone like a beacon of hope. His compassion knew no bounds, offering solace amidst the chaos that engulfed us all. My logic reveals that China won the war but lost the fight of nuclear fallout, and it devastated the land, and now they invade India because the nations are no more. I stand amidst the ruins, the acrid stench of smoke and destruction filling my nostrils. The aftermath of the nuclear fallout is evident in the scorched earth and twisted remnants of buildings that stand as grim reminders of a cataclysmic event. China's victory in the war was undeniable, but their triumph was hollow, for the price they paid was dear. The fallout from the nuclear weapons unleashed had left their land barren and uninhabitable, a stark testament to the devastating power of such weaponry. As I analyze the situation, it becomes clear that China's actions were driven by desperation, a bid for survival in a world torn apart by conflict and chaos. Their invasion of India, once a sovereign nation, is a grim reminder that in this new reality, borders hold no meaning. Nations have crumbled, their structures shattered beyond repair. The once vibrant landscapes now bear witness to the scars of war, a tapestry of destruction that stretches as far as the eye can see. As I observe this grim tableau, a sense of foreboding grips my heart. The world as we knew it is no more, replaced by a brutal landscape where only the strongest survive. In this bleak reality, my logic tells me that there are no winners, only survivors clinging to a thread of hope in a world teetering on the brink of oblivion.